Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Holy Spirit, stir up in our hearts a passion and desire to proclaim your word in action and in love in our world today. Thank you for calling us to be children of God and for keeping us in that faith each and every day. Bless the words we hear today that we may grow continually in our faith in you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So here I am today standing by the baptismal font. I don't know about you, but I every day of my life I need to remember baptism more. And on this wonderful day of Pentecost, we remember the gift of God in the power of baptism. We remember the gift of God in the power of His Holy Spirit. For you and I have received the Holy Spirit, that same Holy Spirit that came down on the disciples on that very first Pentecost, on the people that were around them. We have received, been given from Jesus, His very same Holy Spirit as He came to us in water and the word that says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as that water was placed on our head, the very benefit of the cross of Jesus and His salvation and His resurrection and eternal life and His grace came into our lives once and for all to save and to redeem us and to mark us as one who is now a child of the Heavenly Father. He grasps His hands around us and never promises never to let us go. This is the gloriousness of the power of the Holy Spirit, that God not only gives us our salvation in Jesus, but then gives us the faith we need to have in that salvation by the power of His Holy Spirit and keeps us strong in that faith by the power of His Holy Spirit. An all-complete, perfect gift from a God of all grace, mercy, compassion, and love for you and for me. What a wonderful, amazing gift. For it truly lies in spirit and in word. And in baptism, that spirit and word came together for our lives. In the sacrament of the Lord's table, that spirit and word comes together for our lives. And when we hear the word of God himself, Jesus, the spirit and the word comes together for our lives, for our salvation, for our eternity. The word and the spirit. It was pretty amazing that first day of Pentecost as we go back and look. What an amazing thing, because all along, as you even heard in our gospel lesson today, Jesus was promising to his disciples, I'm going to send you a helper, a paraclete, somebody who will run with you, somebody who will go with you, and I will send this helper and this gift to you in due time. And on that day of Pentecost, they received it. And when they received the power of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom was opened to them. All of Scripture became alive to them, and faith blossomed in their lives. You see, the reality is, the reason the power of the Spirit is given to us is, number one, to cleanse us and bring us to faith. Number two, to sustain us in that faith. But number three, to sanctify us. This is an important lesson for us to learn today. By water, by word, by spirit, and in sacrament of the supper, not only do we receive forgiveness and salvation, but God continues to sanctify us. Now, if you remember, sanctification is the process of becoming holy. Holy means to be set apart. So the work of the Holy Spirit that began the day in our baptism when water and word was applied to our life and the Spirit entered, that day began the process of sanctification for us. The process of becoming holy. The process of becoming holy more like Jesus. Set apart in God's kingdom to be different than the rest of the world. That's right. Different than the rest of the world. Different because we love. Different because we're not racist. Different because we forgive. Different because we care for people and help people. Different because we do not judge. Different because we follow the Ten Commandments in our lives, right? At least we're called to do that. And sometimes we fail miserably at that. But that's what we're called to do. We are set apart to be different than the rest of this world. To think different, look different, act different, be different, not to lord it over people, but in service to others to lift them up so that they know Jesus, right? So the sanctification begins in our lives, this process of sanctification, this process of becoming holy, and every day we grow to be more like Jesus. And it's a process, right? It starts the day when we're baptized, when we're born again by water and of the Spirit. And it doesn't end until the day we die. And on the day we die, we become perfect, entering into the glorious grace of the kingdom of heaven. And there we will be perfect with Jesus for all eternity. But in the meantime, well, you know what I just thought? When I look at my own headstone, and you know, Steph and I have our headstones and our kids are buried there, you know, and you look at the headstone, there's that dash, right? There's the year you're born and then the year you end, right? Sanctification is that dash. Sanctification is that dash. It's everything in between those two dates. Your entire life, you are being reborn over and over, sanctified over and over, repenting over and over, living in Jesus' love and forgiveness over and over and over again in your daily lives until that day we go home to be with Him forever. You see, the whole point of Pentecost was this: to declare the marvelous word of Jesus Christ to the world. And oh, by the way, Jesus is the word. So as we declare the word, we are taking Jesus himself to the world, not only in our words, but also, and very importantly much, in our actions as well. For actions often speak louder than words, and we've heard that adage many times. This is the power of Pentecost, that you and I have been swept up in the Holy Spirit to be Jesus to the world. And in fact, a lot of people miss that. There are a lot of churches today who look at Pentecost and they don't really understand what's going on. I'll tell you this. It kind of boggles my mind a little bit. So a lot of people see this Pentecost account and they see that the Holy Spirit came down in tongues of fire and fell on people, and they'll say, oh, and the people spoke in tongues, so they must have spoke some miraculous language that most people couldn't understand, and that was gibberish. Does that make sense? If God's whole intent, purpose, and his will is that all people come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus and be saved, that all people encounter the love of Jesus in his word, does it make sense that he would make it that something is not understandable, that only one or two people could understand it, or maybe nobody at all? That makes absolutely no sense. And you pay attention to what Scripture says, and Scripture says that the people heard the language of heard the gospel in their own language. They heard the marvelous works of God in their own language. Parthian and Medes and Greeks and Romans, they heard it in their own language. They were able to grasp what they were saying in their own language. This is the power of Pentecost, the power that you and I are able to take the word of God and to share it in our lives, to point others to Jesus so that they may share the same salvation we receive from the Holy Spirit in baptism, in word, and in sacrament and with us so that they may be saved. Why would God cause his word to be misunderstood or gibberish? It just doesn't make any sense. Now, I'm not saying that there is no such thing as speaking in tongues. That's not what I'm saying. But that's not what happened in this account. The people spoke the language. I often think that gift today, most missionaries have, right? Missionaries are able to go into foreign lands and speak the gospel fluently in different languages and even translate the Bible in those languages. What marvelous gift of tongues that those people have to be able to do such thing. Well, you and I have been given that gift too. If you speak English and you live in the United States, or you speak Spanish and you live in the United States, or you speak whatever, any other language, you live in the United States, or wherever you are in the world for that matter, you're able to speak in tongues. You're able to share the gospel of Jesus. In fact, I find it very interesting that our Old Testament lesson and our epistle lesson both talk about the importance of being able to prophesy the word. Now, that's another thing we misunderstand. People hear prophecy and they think it's a foretelling of the future or some magical oracle. No. The idea of prophecy in the Bible is preaching God's word, sharing God's word, taking the word of God and applying it to the world we live in today. That's prophecy. So brothers and sisters, if you're getting to know your neighbor next door to you, and you're sharing about your faith, and you're sharing about what Jesus has done for you, you're prophesying. You are sharing the word of God applicable in their life at that very moment. If you're going out in actions and serving the homeless, or giving food to your neighbor, or forgiving somebody, or whatever that might be, or not judging somebody, or speaking up against some of the hate that we see going on in our country these days, you are prophesying the word of God. And Scripture is very clear about this. Your young men and women will prophesy. It happens when we come to faith in the Holy Spirit. It happens when you and I do what we're called to do, what we're made to do, to be the presence of Jesus in the world around us. You see, God wants his word proclaimed in this world. In fact, if you go all the way back to the Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, you remember the people wanted to be like God, and so they wanted to reach God, and they built this big tower, and God said, well, okay, fine. So that they won't do that again. I'm going to destroy the tower, and I'm going to spread them out, and they will speak in different languages, and all they'll hear is Babel, and they'll never be able to make a plan like this again. But the beauty is, God has given the world a new common language. Sure, other languages still exist, but he's given the world a new common language, and that language is Jesus. That language is the word, and the word is Jesus. That language is gospel. That language is forgiveness. That language is eternal life. That language is love. And as we live out our baptisms by the power of the Holy Spirit every day of our lives, we are embodying the power of the word and proclaiming it and sharing it in our actions and in our words. we truly fulfill the love of Christ as we seek to bear the burdens of the world around us. Those who are lost, those who are hurt, those who are broken, which is you and me too, those who don't know Jesus, those who are mentally ill, those who are suffering from cancer, our neighbor next door, who we want to be friends with. And in this way, streams of living water, as Jesus says in our gospel lesson for today, will flow from our hearts. This is what we are created to do. This is why we exist. This is our very purpose in this world. For you and maybe for me, I know for me, today I'm going to start saying, Holy Spirit, open my eyes and heart that I may live out your purpose, that I may prophesy your word, that I may share your word and Jesus with others around me more and more. Because if you haven't noticed, the world can be a pretty unpleasant place filled with racism and hate and worry, murder and death and sin. But thanks be to God in Christ Jesus who rescues us, who lifts us up from the muck and mire of this world to live in his peace and joy and salvation every day, so that you and I will be a beacon of hope in our world, so that you and I will be the light shining in the darkness, so that you and I will unleash the power of the Holy Spirit to a world that desperately needs to know the love of Jesus. In his name, amen.